Welcome to Social 1776. I'm your host, Daniel Leach. I'm joined by Lexton Lotus Justice. We're going to be doing an update on what's going on with her legal case and her fight for freedom. Welcome to the program, Lotus. And how are you doing today? Great. I'm doing okay.
I have currently been incarcerated for 19 months unlawfully and illegally after having been had our tenancy breached with warrantless entry by Franklin County Sheriff's Department on July 21st, 2020. So how am I doing? I'm tired of being denied due process of law. I'm tired of being unlawfully incarcerated. I'm tired of the court judicial processes denying me due process and obstructing justice and abusing judicial discretion. Just last week, we had an outstanding appeal at the 10th Appellate, and one of the key points, you know, we've had a probate order that they tried, that they used unlawfully as some type of warrant for entry, which they think vacates the Fourth Amendment requirement. And there's very, 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 very narrow tailored laws that allow them to do that in the Fourth Amendment. Hold on just a moment. And I'll give you those citations here in a minute. I should have had them available. But there's very, very narrow, tailored capacity for states to come in and operate under what's called caretaking, community caretaking, and basically operate outside of due process of law and the Fourth Amendment requirements of probable cause for entry. And those are well-established case law. And they did not rise to that, and actually on January 11th, they brought in a supervisory agent for the Franklin County Sheriff's Department and interviewed him and as part of a hearing on some of the motions and pleadings. I don't do motions. I don't work in admiralty. I do pleadings because I'm in equity. Some of the pleadings that I had on in the case in the Bar of Equity, asking for suppression of evidence, stuff like that. In that testimony, that sheriff admitted they had the warrant and also admitted that they did not, he didn't even know the meaning of exigent circumstances, meaning circumstances where which justified the entry without compliance with the Fourth Amendment due process of law and probable cause to enter a home for the purposes of preventing an ongoing crime from occurring, such as someone's being held hostage, you hear screaming, you know, there's, you know, you have some belief that in the entry into the property is justified without a probable cause warrant for entry or even arrest because you feel that there's a dangerous situation. The guy didn't even know what the word exigent meant, basically stating that their reasoning for entering was because the magistrate said they could. Okay. And there's this very narrowly tailored exceptions to the sanctity of the right to not be have intrusions into your private property by the government has been very well established by case law. We can cite Coniglia v. Strom, which is one of the most recent ones, which is Supreme Court number 20-157593 U.S. It doesn't even have a page number yet, folks. It's so new. 2021. Then we have Welsh versus Wisconsin, 466 U.S. 740, 748, 1984. Brigham City, Utah versus Stewart, 547 U.S. 398, 206. I can name about five more. So what you have in the state of Ohio is now we have testimony on the record in a hearing that was held concerning just petitions I had, such as the vacating of all the evidence because, you know, if you walk into a house without a warrant, unlawfully and illegally, any evidence you garner after that breach of the violation of the Fourth Amendment is considered inadmissible and is to be suppressed. So that was one of the hearings we had. And in the hearing, they admitted to not having a warrant, and the judge still is allowing the evidence that they garnered in violation of the Fourth Amendment to be considered. So we have a situation in the state of Ohio, which is probably not so different than what's happening in other states, except that I happen to be fighting the cause and do not have an esquire for the bar union twisting and torning the constitutional 8th to make it look like what they're doing is legal, when it's when what they're doing here is neither legal nor lawful. And so, you know, we have the benefit of me creating a record of evidence of the truth of the of the of the case, and basically exposing how these bar union basically they're not courts, they're private banking, they're shadow banking instruments that they call courts, are doing whatever they want to do, and these judges are doing whatever they want to do, quote unquote judges. They're not following the state statutes. They're not following the federal constitution, or even the state constitution in this matter. So how am I doing? I'm getting kind of tired of being here. I'm getting kind of tired of being subjected to excessive bond, and you know, that's an interesting argument being levied now, and even the press about how these prosecuting attorneys are letting people out. And then they're committing crimes after that, you know, because let's say they're brought under a bond for a violent offender and they're let go. Well, I hate to break it to people, but the only legitimate purpose for incarcerating someone under a bond and detaining them in prison is to assure their presence at a trial, not for punishment. So the use of bonds and bail and imprisonment, which deny people due process of law, or being used as a form of punishment, like it has been in my case, or for the purposes of coercing people into plea agreements, which is preponderance of its use and purpose and use in the modern judiciary, quote unquote judiciary, is unconstitutional, and it's not. That's not what it's for. So, you know, though I understand the argument for holding violent offenders off the streets in a way who have recidivism and have had multiple cases, the failure in that is not bringing these people to a speedy trial and finding them either guilty or innocent in those crimes. Bail is not supposed to be used to hold people in prison or in jail for 2-3 years while they coerce these people through the tortures of imprisonment and deny them due process and the right to a speedy trial to get plea agreements. In the state of Ohio, it's been exposed that 95% of their cases are settled through plea agreement, and that 5% of those cases are not. And that in the preponderance of the cases they bring to trial, they don't win them, I believe, is the statistic. So what you have is you have bail being used as a form of punishment and a form of threat direct coercion, where the state is using the perpetual incarceration of people to get them to broken down spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, try to coerce them into whatever claims they have against them. And in a lot of the cases that I'm aware of that in this jail, where they have people who, it's not unusual for people to be in Franklin County Correctional Center too, for 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, even waiting for trial. That's abhorrent constitutionally. And again, that's not a legitimate purpose for detention. Okay. Some of these people are held here for the purpose of, let's say, they're a real party of interest in a case the state has an interest in, and they put them in jail to ensure that they will be there when they need them in 2 or 3 years for witness against a third party. They're using it for that as well. That actually is questionable as maybe even a permissible reason, but there's other options. There's a house arrest. There's, you know, there's lots of things that can be done instead of holding people incarcerated indefinitely in cases that have not been brought to trial and definitely are not being brought to trial in a speedy fashion. So in my case, I've been held under excessive bail for over going on 19 months now. And I have been tortured and abused. I've had more than 3 felonious assaults that have caused bodily harm. I've had detached retina that had to have repaired. I've had a broken arm broken into 3 pieces that was denied medical care and has not healed properly. And a broken nose. I most recently have a fractured shoulder blade and potentially a fractured ankle that I have not had treated in 5 or 6 weeks. We're still waiting for that to happen. It took them 4 weeks to notify me that I had a fractured shoulder blade, folks. So, you know, they're supposed to keep these people safe in jail only for the purpose of assuring that they present a trial. That's not what these jails in the United States of America are being used for. In the United States of America, jails are being used for bonds to be assessed against people so these courts can make money, wrap those bonds, sell those bonds to the Treasury. And they're being used to hold people indefinitely in incarceration, which bankrupts them, which makes them weary spiritually, emotionally, and physically, breaks them down mentally, and then they surrender a lot of times to even causes of action and claims and criminal causes against them they didn't even commit, just because they're tired of being held up in a brick-walled facility in the same room for 3 years. So this is torture. And the judiciary of this country is operating using means of torture to solicit and get convictions on the classes of persons which we are supposed to be protecting by the law, the least fortunate being the poor, the impoverished, the infant. This, I consider drug addiction a sickness and an illness, a mental illness, and the indigent. You know, so their judiciary is not at all what you all think it is. I can give pretend testimony to the fact that it is a farce, that it is a fraud, that it is a criminal enterprise, that it is affecting RICO and racketeering on the least fortunate among us, particularly the children when it comes to probate, and these poor single, a lot of the single mothers. They will hold a woman incarcerated here who's pregnant strictly for the purposes of seizing the child under after on delivery because the mother's incarcerated at that time. That happens a lot. So, you know, how am I doing? I'm a little mad. I'm a little disappointed. I'm definitely tired of, you know, in a spiritual sense, I'm very tired. I mean, I still have great faith, but I'm very disappointed spiritually that not with God, but with the other people of this country and people who have a fiduciary duty and an obligation in law, correct courses of action, because it's not like we don't know what's going on anymore. My case is not the only case. I am definitely not the only person that this is happening to. I mean, we talked about it. I told you, Daniel, that I just got discovery. They seized my phone, right? Seized my wife's too, though she was charged with nothing and have not surrendered her property. My phone, the only thing they searched for in my phone was the word Trump, folks. Trump. Think about this. So in a probate order, I was declared basically a domestic terrorist by they said that I professed I was a sovereign citizen, which those words have never come out of my mouth. I would never declare myself that because it is deemed a domestic terrorist by the FBI and the government. So they, the powers that be, the state of Ohio and its agents, and the City of Columbus Police Department and the Sheriff's Department and the corruption have declared, and do this often, declared me and other whistleblowers to be, quote, sovereign citizens and domestic terrorists. And then they come after us and try to kill us and try to hem us up in false charges and entrap us and things like this, murder us. A lot of patriots and constitutionalists and people who believe in the republic law and believe that the republic law is the prevailing high law of this nation and country, have been murdered by the state agents of state because of the exposing of the criminal racketeering and corruption in the government. So we're going through a period of time in our country where the prevailing executive branches of government, the prosecuting attorney, the attorney general's offices of the states, the federal prosecuting FBI and the federal attorney generals and the executive branches of both the state and federal government are targeting people who are constitutionalists and who are exposing the criminal corruption of the government and are pushing back by civil disobedience, just civil disobedience, folks, or even utilizing the courts themselves to expose us. So you have a period in time, exactly like the Weimar Republic and the Nazi Germany of the 40s and 50s, which were targeting the asociales, as they called them then, the people who were not willing to surrender to the tyranny of the Nazi state, the fascist state. You are in it. We have people all over this country who are being incarcerated for exposing crimes that have been committed against themselves, children being stolen, unlawful entry into their houses, totally trumped up false charges, entrapment, all the putting people in mental institutions for things that they say on Facebook, folks. Saying that the things that people are saying in video, Facebook, or in interviews or whatever, in a situation like what we're doing right here, justifies the government seizing you, arresting you, coming at you with a probate order, putting you in a mental institution. And, you know, that I have another case for that. My pastor just found it is Elonis versus the U.S., E-L-O-N-I-S versus United States, 2015. This is a new case. We don't have the citation for it yet. And it talks about what is considered a perceivable threat versus what is a legitimate, provable, credible threat. And in situations, let's say, where you make a statement on the Internet where you're like, I don't like the Democrats or whatever, and they should all be tried and hung. Let's say you say that. That is not a credible threat that justifies you being...
You have 1 minute remaining.
I plan to call you back. Does not allow the state to come and arrest you under a probate order and or charge you with misdemeanor threats and tyranny. That under the Alonis versus United States, the statements within the instrument, what they're talking about, have to be a credible threat and have to threaten violence against a particular person. It can't be the perception of the object or the subject of the threats that gets you tagged with the crime. So they're not supposed to be coming at you for free speech and dissension from what the government is doing to us. And that's what they're doing. So when I call back, it'd be great. I'll call right back, Daniel, but it'd be great if you would, you know, add your 2 cents onto this, because I know that you have something to say about the state of, let's say, the January 6th people being held for sedition and treason and things like that, and the volume of people being incarcerated for actually exposing governmental corruption and being targeted.
Thank you for using GTL.
Well, there you go, guys. That was Rex and Lotus Justice. Sorry, I didn't really say much, but I just wanted to let her, because she has a limited amount of time to speak and say what she has to say. But we're going to do a second part here. So if you guys just want to hang on, or we'll just put the second part here on the website. So just hang on. We'll be right back.